Frank Ling.
And I'm Charles Lee.
And you're listening to the Grok Science Show.
That's right. It's a weekly look at the world of science, technology, and their effects on our daily lives. Coming up on today's program, Paul Oster will join us to discuss health data.
So stay tuned for all of this.
Plus the Grokatron 5000.
And our world-famous question a week.
Coming right up.
Here.
On the Grok's
Science Show.
To the Grok's Science Show. Well, as health data becomes digitally viable and the use of electronic health records boom, thieves see patient records as opportunities waiting in the wings. A hack that exposes the medical and financial records of tens of thousands of patients is coming, and it's only a matter of when. Well, joining us today to discuss this issue is Mr. Paul Oster. Mr. Oster is an expert on how major credit bureaus operate. He's the owner of Better Qualified and a professional speaker at financial and banking conferences. And he joins us today to discuss this very fascinating issue. Mr. Oster, thank you very much for joining us today on the Grok Science Show.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Certainly our pleasure. Certainly a fascinating issue, talking about the potential healthcare data breach. I'm curious, why do healthcare records attract hackers?
Well, it's really two reasons. A, it's the ease of access. You know, healthcare providers are lagging behind the technology in terms of protecting data, putting the policies and procedures in place for data breaches. And then the second thing is, think about the last time you filled out a health questionnaire. It contains every piece of information you would want to know about somebody. And so when they take a file, that's what's considered a comprehensive and complete file. And those are actually the ones that go for the most amount of money in the black market.
Sometimes much more than a stolen credit card or a social security number even.
Yeah, because if you do that, you only have access to that one card. If you take somebody's health information records, you have their name, their address, their social security number, their dates of birth. So now you can start to build multiple credit profiles as opposed to just stealing, one credit card or a Target card or something like that.
And it certainly seems like we have to fill out these things every time we go to any healthcare provider, an endless number of times. So all that information is out there, but not really protected. I mean, is there anything we can do to prevent ourselves becoming from target of hackers?
Yeah, I mean, there are still some healthcare providers that want you to use your Social Security number as your patient ID. And you have to refuse that request. There is absolutely no reason to have to use your Social Security number for anything pertaining to healthcare and health-related matters. So force them to use something else. And again, they're just following their standard operating procedures. But as a patient and a consumer, you have certain rights afforded to you to be able to protect those things. So you can ask the doctor, do they store this data in the cloud? Have they taken the necessary precautions to protect your data? Be vocal and educated about your identity, because if you leave it up to chance or you're just assuming that the healthcare provider, and I don't care if it's a hospital, a local doctor, something you're doing online, you cannot assume that they've taken the necessary steps to protect your ID. If you look at the numbers are staggering within the healthcare arena. You know, there's like 29.3 million patient health records that have been compromised in a HIPAA data breach since 2009. That's a 138% jump in the number of health records breached just in 2012. So as more and more data is being taken electronically, stored electronically, or now you have these identity thieves saying healthcare is the way to go. If you're able to breach those files and that data, again, you have what's called a complete file.
Certainly, I guess, an area that most people haven't really realized where they're vulnerable. I mean, again, is there a way, a resource that maybe lists providers that are more secure than others, or is that information just not out there, or are most providers not even thinking about this issue?
It's not out there yet. You know, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is really the lead watchdog here that's making sure that more and more of this stuff is available to consumers and certainly patients in the healthcare industry. But when it comes to identity theft, it's really our responsibility. You know, we lock our front doors, we lock our car doors, and yet we fail to lock our identities. So, you know, at the end of the day, I am the first person to tell everybody there's no such thing as identity theft protection. But you can do certain things to minimize the risks associated with identity theft. And unfortunately, we live in a world now where everyone needs to be in a credit monitoring program. And again, it's not identity theft, it's credit monitoring to alert you to the fact, because like with so many other things, early detection is the key here. So if you're going to get involved in a credit monitoring program, make sure that monitoring program has an identity resolution program, because the worst thing, or the second worst thing that happen is you're alerted that there's been a data breach, or you're alerted that somebody is trying to use your information, and then not having the resource behind it to help you. Because if I called you and said, you know, someone just leased a car or opened a credit card in your name, what would the average consumer do? They don't really know where to turn to. So make sure you have fraud specialists and fraud resolution services that are backing that credit monitoring, as opposed to all the other bells and whistles. I see so many things out there now, you know, great job in marketing certain companies and services. But at the end of the day, you need an email or text alert that someone is trying to access your credit profile, and then you need access to a fraud specialist to help you moving forward with the resolution.
It certainly does no good unless you have some sort of teeth to back it up and pursue the person who's, or the people who are trying to use your information, right?
That's absolutely right. And remember, if you're doing banking online, if you're doing anything online, you, again, are increasing the risk of having your data compromised. Even if you're on a secured Wi-Fi, when you're doing stuff wirelessly, mobile banking, there are technologies out there. All a person has to do is walk by you, and they have receivers that are going to take all of the information on your mobile device. And whether it's locked, encrypted, protected, there's no such thing, again, as a 100% protection and plan. So make sure that you're doing things as securely as possible. And sometimes people hate when I say this, but you may have to sacrifice a little convenience in order to protect your identity. We want to do things where people are saving our bank account information, so the next time we go onto a website, we can just press, yes, use that account. It's showing in the last four digits, you know, of the information. But let's not forget that through Heartsbleed and all of these other software malfunctions and encryption problems, again, all of our data is in 10 billion databases, and I do not believe there's anything out there that can protect that data 100%.
So for people who really don't think about these things on an issue or have never been subject to their credit being compromised, what kind of damage really can any kind of attack do to your credit portfolio?
It's unbelievable. You know, unfortunately, we deal with the aftermath every single day. I mean, you're not just talking about monetary damages, because most of them are recouped through FDIC insured accounts. Most credit cards do have fraud protection that's on there. But there are some restrictions, and you have to, again, alert the credit card company in a certain amount of time. Usually it's 30 days, or you could be liable for the purchases. But if they do account takeovers and stuff like that, again, it's not really the loss of money. It's a loss of access. So let's say an identity thief was able to do an account takeover of your checking account. And in the investigation phase, they locked your account down. So if you have direct deposit, if you have auto draft and bills that need to be paid, and or you needed access to your money, like we all do, you couldn't use your debit card, you couldn't write a check, and you wouldn't have access to the monies that were in that account until there was a resolution. When you look at true name identity theft, so a lot of times identity theft is perpetrated not for monetary gain immediately, but it could be an ex-con who's looking for a job. It could be a sex offender. It could be someone who's on their third DWI who needs a driver's license. It could be someone who is looking to have a medical procedure done but doesn't have the credit They have to finance it. You're talking, large bills associated with dental work and or medical procedures, plastic surgery, elective surgeries, all of this stuff where they're going to set up financing in your name. So when they don't pay the bill, obviously they can walk away. So the effects of identity theft are devastating. It usually takes 24 to 48 months before the average person is able to, you know, right the ship and get their life back on track. That is why it's imperative to have the credit monitoring program in place. The earlier that you can detect this, the earlier you can deal with it and you know, get your life back together. Because sometimes the thieves are able to perpetrate the crime for years before the person is actually aware that this is being done.
You mentioned earlier that something like 3 million of these things compromised so far, and is this growing?
49.3 million.
49.3 million, even worse.
29.3 million healthcare records have compromised in a HIPAA data breach since 2009.
Oh,
29.3 million records.
That's just incredible. I mean, it's almost 10% of the population in the U.S., and so is this growing? Are the risks growing to people? And again, are there cases where this is like major cases where these data breaches have occurred?
You know, absolutely. You know, we use Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey for our company and employees, and Horizon just had a data breach. All of the experts, including myself, are sitting here waiting for the shoe to drop, waiting for the, you know, 10,000-pound gorilla to rear its ugly head because, again, with the lack of effort and abilities for healthcare providers to try and protect this data. Again, they're way far behind, let's say, banking and insurance. The healthcare industry is way behind. Look at healthcare.org. Look at Obamacare, the marketplaces. Those websites were built by companies that really had no business building those websites. And now they are in receipt of tens of millions of people's profiles, which again include everything that an identity thief would want to know.
It is, again, something serious to think about. If you have some final words of advice for people regarding protecting their information, not just only here in the health world, but just sort of overall, what they can do to make sure that they aren't really a victim.
Sure. Be proactive. Again, don't assume that someone else is going to protect your data. You have to protect your own data. You have to lock it down. You have to monitor it as closely as you possibly can. And I know that you might not want to do that because the services that are of any value would cost money. But you shouldn't really be paying more than about $10 a month for any type of credit monitoring and fraud resolution services. Again, you don't need all the other pretty bells and whistles. And make sure that you are, you know, shredding your documents at home. Dumpster diving is still like the second way in which identity thieves steal our info. And they're going through people's garbage. They're looking at certain records and accounts, and they start to build this credit profile. And it could take 6 months, 12 months, 2 years. But at some point in time, they're going to get all of the pieces of the puzzle, and then they're going to be able to take over your identity. So make sure you're shredding all of your documents at home. Again, if you're doing any type of online banking and certainly mobile banking, you have to make sure that you've taken the necessary steps to protect your data.
And then, as you mentioned, there are a lot of different credit monitoring agencies out there. How really can you go about vetting the best ones?
Well, I mean, I would provide a free consultation to anybody who is looking to get involved in any of the credit monitoring situations. We provide a free identity theft resolution kit for folks. You know, they can find my company, BetterQualified.com, on the web, BetterQualified.com. Or they can go to BQ911.com is a credit monitoring service that we endorse and are involved with. And, you know, vet companies through Better Business Bureau's recommendations and things like that. Because, and I think the most important thing there is, you know, I don't like to bash other companies, but there are companies that you see all over the TV and the radio, and they're doing a great job in marketing and advertising, but they kind of fail to produce on the customer service side, and they're charging people exorbitant amount of money for stuff that they don't need. So, you know, use your head, shop around, get the best price and service, you know, get the best thing for your value for your dollar for sure, because they are not all created equally. But again, unfortunately, I do think that everyone needs to be involved in a credit monitoring program.
All right. Well, we were just talking with Mr. Paul Oster. He is the owner of Better Qualified, a credit repair and protection company. He's talking about protecting your healthcare data from compromise. And Mr. Oster, pleased to have you on today on the Grok Science Show. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on. I would welcome the opportunity to come back on because, again, unfortunately, I think this situation is only going to get worse as time goes on.
Well, I certainly hope all our listeners will pay heed. And again, Mr. Oster, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thank you. Have a great day.
And that's all for this week's edition of the Grok Science Show.
Make sure you tune in next week for more from the world of science and technology.
If you'd like to contact us here, you can email us at science@groks.net. For Grok Science, I'm Frank Ling.
And I'm Charles Lee. Make sure you also see us on the web at www.groks.net. Have a great afternoon and keep on grokking.